you kill him. Repeat after me. Final Friday.
He is an incredibly talented songwriter. He's been called one of the greatest pop voices of our time, and you can definitely hear that famous range and tone in this wonderful track, Get Up. It's time to boogie. To not move to that, one of the charismatic and energetic songs you just can't help moving to. It is literally impossible, Russell, to keep still.
And I was dancing, so were you, Nads. You Make Me Feel Like Dancing, written and recorded by Leo Sayer. He took it to the top of the charts across the world in 1976, eventually earned a Grammy for it. And I'm delighted to say that Leo joins us for Vinyl Friday. Leo Sayer, welcome to you.
How you doing?
Good.
Enjoying playing your vinyl there, eh?
I love it. I just love it. We've got the last turntable in the business operating out of this studio.
You haven't, because I've got one as well, and I'm celebrating a lot of vinyl at the moment. All my stuff has been released or re-released on vinyl at the moment, a series of six of the first six albums.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And I've just received them by courier yesterday.
And what do they look like?
They look fantastic. Yeah. They're all colour-coded. Beautiful.
Oh, but Leo, do they have the crackle in them like the originals have?
Well, the funny thing is, I had a friend of mine, a lovely guy who used to be the cutting engineer at Festival Records in the old days in Sydney, Warren Barnett, and he came round and we were salivating over some of our old cuts, you know, festival in Sydney, which is very, very famous. Now it's an IGA supermarket, which is kind of shows how things have changed. But there's lots of signs up there to denote that it was once Festival Records, you know. And so we were digging out stuff, and I'll tell you, even old acetates, they all sound amazing. And of course, some of them have got a crackle and a pop, but nothing comes over better than vinyl.
We agree.
But I mean, you know, it's a beautiful thing to listen to music because it evokes such emotions and such magical memories, and it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, and it takes you to places which that song we just heard, You Make Me Feel Like Dancing, I think takes a lot of people to a lot of places, and you launch right into that song with that beautiful falsetto. Where did your voice come from?
Well, I was a choir boy at first and a parish priest in Shoreham-by-Sea in Sussex. Really sort of, you know, taught me how to bring out my voice. And he wasn't just satisfied with me being a good enough singer to sing mass and to maybe sing some of the hymns and some of the solo parts. He really sort of like saw it in me that I had something to develop and basically inspired me to really sort of dig deep for my voice.
Do you remember any of the hymns or the masses that you sang back then?
Not really well, no.
I won't get you to do
it. You know, all this kind of... Et cum spiritu tuo. And I remember standing up in Westminster Cathedral and singing solo there and hearing my lovely soprano kind of bouncing off the walls and was, bouncing off all of that stone and glass. That was a fantastic experience. I suppose my first concert.
Well, that's a beautiful memory. Thank you for sharing it with us. We fell in love with Leo Sayer in Australia pretty quickly, I have to say. You'd already had success as an artist and as a songwriter, but you really, with this song and then, the album that it was attached to, I guess, were heralded in Australia, and then you appeared on Countdown. We found this in our archives. Have a listen.
Hi, this is Leo Sayer. I'm not a little... We won't use that. Hello, this is Leo Sayer. Pleased to meet you all again. I'm on Countdown this week on ABC. Make sure you watch it. I'll be there. See you then.
There we go.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. Fantastic.
A blast from the past. You know, some of those old Countdown interviews and spots, I remember we did the 200th Countdown in the UK with Molly. It was crazy. I think Bon Scott stepped in front of my camera at one time and I hit him and he went down like a pack of sardines, honestly. It was rather sad, really. I didn't mean it, Bon, sorry.
The Countdown was the show to be
chaos.
On.
It was always chaos.
Yeah.
That show was chaos.
Chaos in what way?
Chaos in a good way. I mean, chaos in a creative way. I mean, well, Molly didn't sort of like adhere to scripts very much. You know, they tell him, Molly, you've got to say this, and he'd say something completely different. and it always went like that. You know, you never knew what the show was going to do. There would be my mate John Paul Young on there as, what do they call him, Squirt?
Squeak.
Squeak. Yeah. And John Paul Young would be running around, and I'd be sort of asking him, you know, what's going on next? He said, I don't know. And on we'd go, you know, merrily into it. But it was fantastic.
If I remember those days, I remember you being loud and dynamic, energetic. Yeah, I mean, but the hair is a key part of you. Like, I just remember the...
That's how I became called Leo, really, through the hair, because I was Gerard Hugh Sayer, and then my manager at the time, Adam Faith, his wife said, he looks like a little lion. There was a TV show on called Leo the Lion, cartoon show, and I had this massive head of hair. They thought I looked like a little lion. I was tiny. I was about seven stone. I don't know how many that is in pounds or whatever, but I was just this tiny boy with this massive head of hair, you know.
We're talking on this Vinyl Friday with the wonderful Leo Sayer, who joins us on ABC Radio Perth, Nadia Matopoulos and Russell Wolf with you. Is it your relationship with record companies? Is something we talk to people about regularly? Was yours healthy? Did they respect you?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah. You know, I mean, most of the time you're making records and you know, you need the help of the record company, of course, to compare notes with and help you with things. But sometimes they can be, of course, a hindrance because you just want to get on with things. And I think also I went through a very difficult time in the 80s when, honestly, nobody wanted to really sign me up. Because, you know, the 80s and the 90s, it was very much kind of changing. The music business was going for younger people. Marketing had come in, and all they knew was how to kind of sell something they'd have already sold before. And they kind of, you know, they just sort of forgot the artistic elements, which was what people like me were all about.
Let's go back to the first time you heard your song on the radio. Do you remember that moment?
I sure do. I was sitting in a car with my co-writer, David Courtney. In fact, we were sitting in the car basically all day because we knew it was coming on. We'd been tipped off that Radio 1, the BBC, were going to play our song, me and my group Patches, me as the lead singer, David Courtney's, and I wrote the song, and we're sitting in the car, and it's the first break that I've ever had, and they're going to play it on the radio, and it's so exciting. And then all of a sudden the song came on. After the car was completely full of crisp packets and Coke bottles and all that sort of stuff, because we've been driving around and dare not even leave the car from about 6 o'clock in the morning. Can you believe it? But to hear it coming over the radio waves was everything. The sound of radio in those days was kind of, you know, was the opening of the door for every artist. So if you had a song on the radio, that was fantastic. Of course, the song didn't sell hardly anything and wasn't really a big hit, but it didn't matter. That moment was fantastic.
That's not the point, exactly. Now, you were in the car
yeah,
from
the moment,
6...
everything.
You were in the car from 6 a.m. What time was the song played?
Oh, about 5 o'clock in the evening. Oh. Yeah. And, you know, we were stopping off for, you know, a break to have a pee, and it would be run into the nearest toilet. But the guy in the car would have to toot the horn if it came on, and even if you were interrupted, you had to rush back to the car.
Leo, we're delighted that you made the move to Australia. What has it meant to you?
A lot of freedom in a strange kind of way. Coming to Australia and to live in Australia, even though I'd been visiting here so many times, the peace and quiet of where I live now in a beautiful little village in the Southern Highlands with only 600 people, actually 600 metres high, and it's 400 people live here. It's a lovely sort of peace and quiet. I do love it. It's very isolated, but really fantastic, and a lovely community I live with. I think it was a kickstart for me coming to Australia, a new start, you know, to have a second chance in life at around the age of 55 is a wonderful thing. And I sort of celebrated it with open arms. And, you know, I've been lucky that I'm still very popular here. And the fact that, you know, as soon as I hit the ground here in 2005, I was working like mad. You know, there were suddenly lots of gigs to do. And now I feel very much a part of the Aussie music scene. It's a real honour to be accepted in that way.
Leo Sayer, the joy that you bring to your music is contagious. We really appreciate it. And we wish you all the very best, and thank you very much for being our Vinyl Friday chat today.
Thank you, and more vinyl to come, I promise.
We look forward to it.